My goal this morning is for us to be edified, to see what Jesus is saying here in these verses. I'd like for us to ask ourselves that how does this apply to me? How does this work for me? And as we know, Matthew chapter 7 and the previous chapters, beginning with chapter 5, these are the chapters of what? What is Jesus preaching? The Sermon on the Mount. So the last verses that we're going to look at in chapter 7 have to do with the sermon. But once again, what I'd like for us to do is think about how it applies to me. So before we get into our lesson, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We ask you, Father, to be with each and every one of us here, that as we study your word, Father, that you may open our minds, our hearts to your word, Father, and that we not only listen, Father, learn, but be able to apply it, Father, in our daily lives. Thank you once again for allowing us to be here, Father, to worship you, and that this worship service, Father, may be in spirit and in truth. Be with us, be with those that are on their way, Father. Be with those that are home, Father, that couldn't be here. Bless them. Watch over them, Father, and be with them. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of our sins that we commit in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So we see here two examples that Jesus uses. He talks about a foolish man, and he talks about a wise man. He uses these two examples. Now, another thing that we can also apply to this lesson is he talks about building two homes, two houses. One is built upon a rock, and the other one is built upon the sand. Now, once again, brethren, how does this apply to me? So that's what we want to do through this lesson. So let's go back to verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, he says, I will liken him unto a wise man. So what words is Jesus saying here? Whoever hears these words that I've told you and applies them to their lives, this is what I compare you to. What words is Jesus talking about? I'm sorry?
The gospel.
Okay, the gospel. What did Jesus just finish preaching to them? It was the Sermon on the Mount. So all these words, beginning with Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus has spoken to them. So I'd like for us to get a mental picture of what's going on. Jesus is on a mountain, and he's preaching to not only the disciples, but the people that were following him. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And like I say, I'd like for us to get a mental picture of what's going on as Jesus preaches to them the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he... This begins. This is the words that Jesus has spoken. He says, if you listen to these words that we're about to talk about here in a few minutes, if you listen to these words, to the Sermon on the Mount, and you apply it to your lives, you apply it to yourselves, this is what I'm going to compare you to. And he gives us those examples in Matthew chapter 7, the ones that we just read. But before this, Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount. He's been tempted of the devil. Okay? John the Baptist has been cast into prison. And Jesus begins to preach that the kingdom is at hand. So all these things have happened and are happening. And so if Jesus, if we can get that picture in our minds, imagine Jesus and all these people, a multitude of people following him, because what is he doing? He's healing the sick. You know, the need that the people have, Jesus is helping them. And so this is why we see that these multitudes and these people are following Jesus, the Son of God. And so as we go into Matthew chapter 5, we see that he begins with what? He begins teaching them the what? The Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be, what? Comforted. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So imagine this group of people that have been following Jesus, and they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're looking for what? They're looking for comfort. And Jesus begins with these Beatitudes. He says, blessed is he that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, is he talking about a physical comfort that he's wanting them to look for, to find? Is he looking for those that are really hungry physically so that he can feed? Now, He did feed the hungry. He did feed them. But is this really what Jesus is out to do? It's a spiritual hunger. So imagine the multitude of people following him, hungry for what? Hungry for righteousness. Hungry for the truth. Hungry to find another way. Perhaps they've been struggling all these years, and And Jesus, in chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says this: "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? To fulfill the law." And this is what Jesus begins to teach them. Now, if we talk a little bit about the law, how can we describe the law of Moses? What, in a few words, the law that the Jews followed back then, the Israelites, how can we describe that law? And he mentions it here in Matthew. I'm sorry? Temporary, okay. The book of Hebrews talks about that and says that it's what? Is a shadow of things to come. The law was a shadow. So when he says that in the book of Hebrews, it's talking about, you know, a shadow is something that you can't really make out, you know, to be. But once Jesus Christ, like we read here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, once he fulfills that law, he does away, abolishes the law, and now we can see clearly because we are under a new what? A new covenant in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ is beginning to teach them. anyone else would like to describe what the... about the law of Moses? Yes, sir.
It was a guide showing the people how to live their everyday lives, but it did not provide salvation.
Okay, it was a guide. Scripture says that it was uses the word schoolmaster, right? Teaching them and leading them once again to that light, which is Jesus Christ, leading us to Jesus Christ. This is the thought that I'm trying to relate to you, is the law, according to what we read here in Matthew, it was an eye for an eye. Have you heard that in the Old Testament? An eye for an eye and what? Tooth for a tooth, which means what? What does that mean? Retaliation. It was a physical law that they followed. So if you murder someone, guess what happened to you? You die. That was the law. So this is what the Jews, this is what they understood. The law of Moses. Jesus comes in and he preaches the Sermon on the Mount, and compared to the law of Moses and compared to what Jesus is telling them here in the Sermon on the Mount is like day and night. Because what is Jesus telling them? If the law is an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, Jesus is telling them what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Love your what? Your enemy. And this is that they're not used to this. You know, and Jesus is, this is what he's teaching them. And so we see here that the law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so we see that Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. And so the hunger, the thirst that they look for is not, and the way Jesus wants to feed them is spiritually. Because we know that the law in Jesus Christ is spiritual. We just heard a lesson last Wednesday about the flesh, living in the flesh, and living in the spirit. Which one are we satisfying? Are we satisfying the flesh? Or are we looking for the spiritual things that belong to God? So, once again, I'd like for us, as we go through this lesson, think about, put yourself in those shoes. How does this apply to me? So Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. He talks and he says it. He says, "You are the salt of the earth," in chapter 5, verse 13. We'll just go over these chapters. We won't go into it in detail, just so that we can understand what Matthew chapter 7, beginning with 24, says. He talks about the law and the prophets. He talks about if your neighbor, if he asks you to go with him for a mile, what does Jesus say? No, don't go with him for 1 mile. Go with him 2 miles. If your neighbor slaps you on the cheek, what does he tell them to do? Turn the other cheek. And have him what? Slap the other cheek. So what is Jesus teaching them here on that Sermon on the Mount?
Humility.
Humility.
And mercy.
Mercy. Because once again, if the law is physical and the law of Moses cannot save spiritually, Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law, so that as he fulfills the law, that law can be abolished, and once again we come into the era of we are in the Christian age. Hebrews chapter 1. What does Scripture say there? Hebrews, what does the writer of Hebrews say? Hebrews chapter 1. God spoke in sundry times by the what? By the prophets. But in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is preparing them for. Now, something also that we have to understand, that salvation is of the Jews. So when Jesus comes and he's preaching, John the Baptist, when he's preaching directly to who? To his people, to the Jews. So it, you know, I think about this and I say, well, why is he excluding me? But because salvation comes to the Jews, he had to come to preach to them first. Once it was preached to them, then Scripture says that in Christ there is neither what? Jew nor Gentile. This is what Christ is going to do. It's not about the Jews anymore. It's not about the Israelites, but it's about the faithful in Jesus Christ.
When the Jews rejected Christ and crucified him, that's when we were given the opportunity to come to Christ, to obey the word of the mercy of Christ. But the Jews were the ones that rejected Christ.
Any other comments or yes, sir, Joel?
They were seeing the flip side of the coin. And it wasn't a new coin, but it was still there.
perhaps it was just they were looking at the side that benefits me. And that's usually how we see things. Hey, how does this benefit me? You know, I'm not going to say anything that goes against me. You know, so perhaps this is what they didn't see, both sides. And also think about this, because we just, and I've mentioned it in chapter 7, the last verse, it says that Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, he preached it like someone that had what? Authority. So imagine being there, listening to Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. But you're listening to the Son of God and with authority. And it's hard to describe, but Jesus being the Son of Man, Scripture says it uses the word Emmanuel, that Jesus is Emmanuel. And what does we could see that authority in which he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. So, and they were amazed at what they were listening to, at what they were seeing from this man. Perhaps they were thinking, you know, I don't know if they knew that he was the son of a carpenter, you know, how can this human, how can this person, you know, have that type of authority? You know, but Jesus is the Son of God. And so we see all these things that have been happening, and Jesus is preaching. John the Baptist, like we said, had just been thrown in jail. Jesus had just been bought by the devil. He'd been tempted of the devil. So all these things are going on. And then he's also healing them physically. You know, how many of us hurt, you know, and we go and we hear of someone say, well, you know what? This is a good doctor, or this is within the Hispanic people, they're not doctors, but they're, you know, people that could either massage you or do things, you know, thinking that they have these special powers to heal you. You know, how many of us, when we're hurting, you know, are looking for anything to help us? You know, anything. And so this is what the people are feeling at this time. So how does this, again, how can this apply to me? We hurt physically, but we know that we have eternal life with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, spiritually. Let's continue on with our lesson so we can get to Matthew chapter 7. And so as we go on with the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus continues to preach, what else does he preach to them about? He says, chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So he's talking about the enemies. Chapter 6 talks about, begins with their alms. He says, when you do your alms, don't let everybody know. Don't be like a hypocrite and go out and let them see that you are dedicating yourself to God, and so that they can see that and glorify you. Because the honor and glory is to God. He talks to them about prayer. He says, when you pray, go into the closet, you know, and pray to God. Once again, he says, don't be like the hypocrites. They're used to, within the Jews, they're used to seeing the scribes, you know, wear those beautiful robes, pray the longest prayers, you know, wear the best jewelry, because they're trying to show their glory. And Jesus says, don't be like the don't be a hypocrite. He says, because your God knows before you even pray. He knows what you need. He talks about physical needs. He talks to them about physical needs. Chapter 6, he says, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus, once again, in this sermon, he's telling them to do not make treasures, what? Upon this earth. But make for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do we have a daily physical need as human beings? Yes, we do. I go hungry at least 5 times a day. So you know, there's one need. You know, do we have to work to support our family? Yes, we do. And Jesus isn't talking about this, but he's talking about, okay, what's more important than this? It's pleasing God. He continues to say here, and he says that, how does God supply for the birds and for all these animals that are in need daily? How do birds get fed? Have you ever thought about that? Do you ever sit maybe outside or look to the window and see? Who's feeding them? Who's clothing them? Sometimes it's you, but it's God. So he says here, so if God can take care of them, how much more can he do for who? For me, for you. So this is why he says, make treasures in heaven. Don't worry about your daily need. And we still do, don't we? I mean, we're human, and you know, and we've got bills to pay, you know, at the end of the month. And we're worried, and, you know, we hustle out there. But he says, don't worry about it. Seek or look to please who first? God. Chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So once again, these are all the things that Jesus is telling them, so that once we get to chapter 7, verse 24, these are the words that Jesus has spoken to them. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Also, it uses the example of Solomon. If we read the life of Solomon, the story of Solomon, King Solomon and everything that he had and how he dressed, he had the most expensive. He dressed, you know, with the purest clothes that there was at that time, and had everything costly. But Jesus compares him, and he says, and even Solomon can dress. And that's in Matthew chapter 6. You saw it right now. 29. Verses 29. So Solomon can't even compare, doesn't even come close to how God can take care of you. So like Brother Joe said, are we putting all our trust in God? Are we depending on God? Once again, this is what Jesus is preaching to them on that Sermon on the Mount. He continues to preach to them about judging. He says, don't judge others. If you have a big stake in your eye, you know, go out, pull it out before you judge your brother. You seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so we see what Jesus and the words that he has spoken to them. Now let's go into our lesson. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. So now that we know all this, and we know what Jesus has preached to them and wants them to do, now hopefully it makes sense to us in verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So he's telling them, so if you've heard the Sermon on the Mount, he says, and if you put it to practice in your lives, this is what I'll compare you to. I'll compare you to being a wise man. Now let's begin there. And I'd like to use to ask you two questions. What is a wise man? Compared to what Jesus is telling us here. What is a wise man? And the other question is, do you consider yourself wise? Do you consider yourself to be a wise man before God? We just read in verse 24 what a wise man is. If you listen to these words and you do them, I will compare you to a wise man. So what do we consider as someone that is wise?
Someone that studies the word, listens to the Lord, and puts him into practice. That is somebody that's wise. Wise not only, and I want to say it this way, he's wise spiritually. And at the same time, if you live right spiritually, automatically, all the other things will be added to you.
So he uses, thank you, Brother Joe, he uses these two examples. He says either you're wise or you're what? You're a fool. That's why I asked the question, what do we consider ourselves? And to be honest with you, of course I consider myself wise. And I'm sure that you do too. But compared to what a wise man is scripturally, spiritually, are we being wise before God? Or are we being that fool? Growing up, you know, your parents guide you, don't they, through your life? You make a mistake, you do something, and they say, don't do that. Don't put your hand on the burner, because if you do, you know, it's going to hurt. You're going to burn your hand. And how's the only way that we learn? By putting our hand on it, right? And learning for ourselves. But a wise man is someone, like the Brother Joe says, and we'll read those verses here in just a minute, is someone who listens to counsel, but not to any counsel or any advice, but what God wants us to do as his children, and we apply it to our lives. That's being wise. Let's go over, because we've got 5 minutes. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. And it talks about being wise and being foolish. Psalms chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is defining a wise man before God. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff in the wind, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it defines a wise man. And so again, my question this morning to us is, which are we? Are we that wise man that listens to what Jesus just preached, the Sermon on the Mount, and we apply it to our lives? Or are we the one that just sits here, goes through one ear and out the other, and forget about it? And so that wise man takes counsel, takes the word of God seriously, and applies it to his life. And I'm sure that we can kind of relate to this, because say the troublemaker, the one that gets everybody else in trouble, you know, and the parent is always trying to correct him. Because we know what? We know that when that child grows up, you know, we want him to walk in the straight and narrow path. This is what God wants for us. Another thing that I'd like to also, and we've got to hurry up, we're down to 4 minutes. We can also say and use Matthew chapter 7, when he talks about being the wise and building your house. And once again, this is just my thought is, okay, it talks about building a house upon a rock and upon the sand. Which one do you think is going to stand? The one that's built on the rock? If the winds come and blow, which one's going to remain standing? Of course, the one on the rock. The one on the sand is unstable, and it's going to fall. How is your faith in God? Are we building that faith in God? I had several other verses I wanted us to read. Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus talks to his apostles, and he says, whom do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're John the Baptist and one of the prophets, Isaiah. He says, well, who do you say? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so this is that foundation that we need to continue to build on what Peter said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is our foundation, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see it again in Acts chapter 2, when on the day of Pentecost, when they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the remissions of your sins. And the previous verses says that this Christ, whom you have crucified, God has made what? Lord and Savior. So once again, there is the foundation that we need to build on. This is the foundation in which the apostles began to build on, is on the saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So are we building upon that foundation? Because if we're not, we're building on the sand. We are that foolish man. We are the one that refuses to take counsel, to listen to advice and apply it to our lives. And so any question or comments before we end our class? And hopefully that these words we can take and apply them to our daily lives. Thank you very much.